And welcome in to the Monday edition of Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Monday morning. Joe Rex Road, how we doing? What's going on?
Doing all right. How you doing?
Doing good. Nick, how we doing? How's life?
Good. Can't complain. Good weekend. Busy weekend. Scary weekend also.
Yeah, absolutely. No question about that. We got a lot to get into on the program here today. We will remember the life and legacy of Frank Wycheck, Titans legend, on the program here today. We'll be joined by Teresa Walker coming up at 6:30 with her perspective. Obviously covered Frank Wycheck for a long time with the Tennessee Titans. We'll be discussing Frank's career, Frank's life throughout the show today. We welcome your thoughts on that as well. 615-737-1025, our phone number. 615-737-1025, our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Joe, you had that happen this weekend, which we'll get into here in just a few minutes. You had tornadoes come through our area. I'm sitting there Saturday. You know, I live kind of in the Goodlettsville / Ridgetop area around here, which was basically right in the center of a tornado ripping through Springfield and a tornado ripping through Madison and Hendersonville. I was kind of like right in the middle of all of that, and fortunately didn't have much going on at my house. It was kind of spared that way, but a wild Saturday night in our area, a tragic Saturday in our area between tornadoes in Clarksville that unfortunately have taken some lives, also in Madison, and then some damage in Hendersonville and in Springfield as well. Just a really tough weekend for our area here in Middle Tennessee. And Joe, it's not the first time we've had to get on here and talk about tornadoes and tornado damage, but a rough weekend for Middle Tennessee with some of the damage that went through Springfield and Hendersonville and Madison and Clarksville, and just a lot of devastation in our area this weekend.
Yeah, terrible stuff, terrifying, tragic, as you said. I believe last I saw six deaths, and I hope there's no update on that. And obviously many injured, and some of the damage is just unbelievable. Some of the videos, I think is it 13, I believe, is the last I saw officially, the calculations after the fact, that 13 different tornadoes touched down. EF3 is the one that hit Clarksville, which I'm not going to tell you that I can exactly explain that to you, but that means it's a pretty big deal. And it's just, it felt so kind of out of nowhere. You know, which I know that's how it goes a lot of times with this stuff. But sometimes there's maybe a little bit of a, you know, an expectation that could happen. I mean, I don't know about you, but I mean, for like Saturday morning into Saturday afternoon, you know, it was like, there's gonna be a few thunderstorms, right? And then that stuff just the conditions were right. And I was watching one of the local newscasts, and I honestly don't remember which one. I was kind of flipping around, but you know, they put the camera on Broadway, and as at that point, you know, we weren't sure it was possibly going to go a little more south and clip, you know, downtown,
right?
And basically they were pleading with these people, like, you have to go find cover right now, you know, a few minutes away from this thing coming through. But just a sad and tragic and terrifying day.
Yeah, no question about it. I mean, I grew up in the Hendersonville area, so seeing some of the photos yesterday of kind of daylight coming up, it's been wild to see. I mean, fortunately, you know, my family and everything is okay. I've got my grandparents staying with me. They're at the house right now because all their power is gone. And, you know, my other set of grandparents were at a Christmas musical at their church on Sunday night, and the tornado actually hit their church while they were there. Now they got a pretty big building, pretty big church. So I think it was, you know, everybody was fine there, but it kind of clipped through, you know, Bluegrass Country Club up there in Hendersonville, and kind of went over by the YMCA and by First Baptist Church where they went. So it was a wild weekend trying to, like, you know, get a hold of them and figure out if everybody was okay. And then, you know, the power situation, just crazy. And then some of the photos, you know, a couple of people put some drones in the air yesterday, and just some of the damage that I saw in Springfield, which is where my parents live, and then in Hendersonville, where I've got a lot of friends and family. Just, it was rough to see yesterday. A lot of places that, you know, I'm familiar with, and places that I've been, you know, big play in Hendersonville, which we've done some things with here on our station. You know, they had just kind of remodeled things and opened things up. I think like a couple of months ago, they went through this big remodel, and then they just got absolutely slammed by the tornado over the weekend. So some tough images to see coming out of Hendersonville.
Yeah, as you're saying that, I'm looking at Andy Humbles from the Tennessean has, you know, pictures of big play, and it's just, you know, and I mean, some of these pictures and some of the videos of it's just you don't really understand. I mean, I've never been, you know, within like in the situation where I could like video a tornado, you know, yeah. But like the power of those things, it's unbelievable. And you know, some of the aerial footage where you can kind of see, you know, you can kind of see the path, and also just, I mean, it just makes dust of everything. It's just it's really scary. So there's obviously a lot of blood is needed. You know, that's one thing, supplies and all that stuff too. So you know, at this point, and obviously this community, as last time, as with everything, you know, we'll rally and support. We know that'll happen. But there's a lot of different ways people can help.
Yep. And as those become more available throughout the week, and there's, you know, kind of an ability to step back and to observe, you know, what we need and what supplies are needed, all those things, we'll pass that information along as best we can as that information becomes more and more available. But like you said, Joe, I mean, it made me think back to March of 2020, right before, you know, the pandemic hit, and there was the tornado that kind of ripped through East Nashville and around this area here, and we were actually kind of on the air. We were getting on the air that day right as the sun was coming up, as the damage was starting to be kind of identified there in March of 2020. And I'll never forget that show. I mean, we were just basically discovering new things with the sun coming up as to the scope of the damage and how widespread it was. And it was not good. That was a memorable show for the wrong reasons.
Yeah. And there were some areas there that were hit that, you know, I mean, the path was a little bit similar in some ways.
Yeah.
Once it went north. So, but yeah, that was almost like a breaking news, you know, update show for 4 hours that day. I had forgotten that. You're right. It was right before the pandemic, wasn't it?
Yep. I got a texter that says, I live in Clarksville, and if a tornado jumped one street over, then my house would have been completely gone. It's by the grace of God that I'm still here. Yeah, that's the other thing, Joe. Like, I watched this video of kind of a drone shot in Springfield, and it's wild, like, what gets hit and what doesn't in some of these things that are like really close in proximity to each other. And I'm not smart enough to explain like how that is. I mean, I guess the thing's just, you know, dropping down and pulling up. I don't know what all goes into it, but some of the things that get hit and some of the things that don't, it's wild to see when you see like the aerial path of the remnants of what's going on.
Yeah. I mean, the direct hit is complete obliteration,
right?
You know, but then it can be a few feet away and be fine. It's, you know, I mean, some of the videos too of like, I assume it was like a generator or something like that that sort of exploded in the middle of the thing.
Yeah, looked like a I think a substation, like a power substation. Yeah,
right. Yeah, it's just, and I mean, you tell me. I mean, I can't imagine there have been too many of these in December. I know the one we were talking about was in March, but it just doesn't seem like the time for that to happen.
It doesn't. I mean, I was listening. I was watching the News Channel 5 broadcast, and Leland Statham was on there talking about how, you know, they've seen tornadoes around here in every month of the calendar year, which is kind of wild to think about when you think about like tornadoes in January, which we've had here before. I mean, the winter months, you would think, are times where these things don't really happen. But I will say, you know, not that I'm like some meteorologist or anything, but Heather and I were walking around like Saturday morning / early Saturday afternoon. And I was like, man, it's like stuffy out here, right? Like it was humid. And, you know, I didn't know that it was going to turn into that later. But after the storms went through, I did remember talking with my wife about, man, it was really stuffy and humid throughout the day, which you don't see a whole lot in the middle of December.
Yeah, and obviously, of course, it's a cold front in and way colder.
Oh yeah.
Afterward, Scotty from Dixon says he was coaching a youth football travel tournament, Pope John Prep School in Hendersonville.
Man,
hid the teams inside the bathrooms and gym. One came through Vietnam's Veteran Boulevard, and my parents had a pick. Thankfully, no one was hurt at our event. Well, I'm glad no one was hurt, Scotty.
Yeah, we're absolutely glad about that. And that's the thing. Like it was, you know, these things are terrifying anyway, Joe. But then you have like the T-Dot camera caught the tornado like traveling across the interstate, basically, on the news broadcast, which you don't see that happen very often. So. Just a really, really unfortunate weekend in our city. Unfortunately, we are pretty familiar with tornadoes and the damage that they cause around here. And like I said, as more information becomes available on how we can all help, we will certainly pass that along here on Robbie and Rec Show when that information becomes a little bit more sorted out. Joe, also the passing of Frank Wycheck over the weekend at the age of 52. We're going to get into that, his life. His legacy as a member of the Titans coming up next. We'll take your thoughts on that. Also, long 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game, brought to you by Chuck McDowell and Medical House Calls, Middle Tennessee's best medical care and the comfort and safety of your own home. For more information, go to medicalhousecalls.com. Medical House Calls, where the nearest clinic is your home. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Monday morning. We're taking your thoughts all show long, 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. Joe, beloved Titans tight end Frank Wycheck passing away at the age of 52 over the weekend. I saw this yesterday. I logged on Twitter and saw this story from Kuharski, from paulkuharski.com, and it was just sickening to see this happen. Passing away at the age of 52, Kuharski included a statement from the family in the piece, quote, "At this time, it appears Frank Wycheck fell inside his Chattanooga, Tennessee home and hit his head on Saturday morning. He was found unresponsive that afternoon. Wycheck moved to Chattanooga, Tennessee this past summer to be closer to his family. He leaves behind two adult daughters, Deanna and Madison, both married, and three grandchildren, Leo, Stevie, and August." This coming from paulkuharski.com. Just a tragic situation, Joe, passing away at the age of 52. You know, obviously, as a kid growing up here, I remember watching Frank Wycheck and how good a player he was with the Titans. Like, for me, it was Steve McNair, Eddie George, and Frank Wycheck. Like, those were my three guys growing up watching the Titans play in the early part of their tenure here in Nashville. And obviously, you know, there's the Music City Miracle that comes to mind and his role in that. But even beyond that, I mean, in his career, he played 155 games, 505 catches, 5,126 yards, 28 touchdowns. You know, I remember some trick plays they used to run where they'd line him up. McNair would toss it out wide to him, and he would throw the ball down the field. I think he ended up, I saw some numbers yesterday, I think in his career, like 5 of 6 with a few touchdown passes doing that as well. It was just fun to watch Frank Wycheck play. And then obviously, Joe, he went on to have a heck of a radio career here too, with doing Titans radio with Mike Keith and obviously our friends Kevin Ingram and the late Mark Howard. And their successful run that they had for a decade plus. I mean, it was just a guy that was well recognized in this city, beloved in this city, and really tragic to see that news over the weekend as well.
Yeah, 52 years old, and it's just it's very sad. It's been a few years that Frank has kind of been out of. Out of the public eye, and it kind of ended abruptly. I'm sure for people who were following along, you go back to around 2017, he basically said he's sure he has CTE as a result of his career. He had said then publicly he planned to donate his brain, and he kind of had to get out of radio and get out of doing Titans radio and all that. He was I loved that show. That's my recollections are I love that show, and of course we've lost two of those three people now.
Yeah,
in recent times, which is also just tragic on its own. And he was just a super nice guy, and a beloved guy who in two different ways sort of was central here in the sports scene. And for people who don't remember, Frank Wycheck was back then, you're talking I mean, three-time Pro Bowler. I mean, you know, back then you're talking, you know, Tony Gonzalez and, you know, Antonio Gates was just kind of starting to become a great player. But, I mean, he was right there with anyone, you know, for a stretch. You think about seven straight years he played every game in a season.
Yeah.
You know, seven straight years, 95 to 01, played every game, and he's still third in this franchise in receptions. I mean, Ernest Givens and Haywood Jeffries going to go back to the run and shoot and Warren Moon, and it's just all, you know, I mean, Warren Moon would throw it 55 times a game, you know, and Wycheck is third behind those two guys with 482 catches. So he's a great player, great ambassador, and, you know, it's just really sad. And I don't want to, you know, I mean, his family said he fell. I mean, I don't want to speculate if they're, you know, like he was struggling in general before that or not, but I just know that 52 years old is way too early.
Yeah, no question about that. And, you know, I was thinking back yesterday just from his playing days, remembering watching him play, and it was interesting to read PK's write-up. We're going to have Teresa Walker coming up here at 6:30 to discuss, you know, her memories of Frank Wycheck, but I had forgotten actually that he was drafted by Washington in 93 and then was a $100 waiver claim by the Oilers in 1995.
Yeah.
And boy, did that work out for the Titans. And, you know, Kuharsky goes on to talk about in his piece just kind of Wycheck's path to getting to the Titans and the NFL and you know, how he stayed there. And David Beauclair put up a really nice piece on Facebook yesterday of just kind of his memories of Frank Wycheck and just kind of his path to get there and how he always kind of felt like just because of his path that somebody was always looking to take his job. So he made sure that he knew what he was like, knew how to do everything on the field for the Titans. And, you know, you look back at his career, you know, think about 99, the season where they get to the Super Bowl. I mean, he was targeted 108 times that year at the tight end position, ended up with 69 catches, 641 yards, and two touchdowns. But, like, think about that, especially with the way that the game was played then. I mean, the Titans, they didn't throw the ball a ton back in those days. I mean, it was a lot of turnaround, handing the ball off to Eddie George. And in 99, Wycheck got targeted 108 times. The following year in 2000, when they were the best team in the league in the regular season, he got targeted 109 times that year with 70 catches, 636 yards, and four touchdowns. So he was by far, you know, Steve McNair's favorite target. Steve McNair looked his way a lot, and he was a really good player on the field. And then obviously, you know, the play that was kind of circulating all around NFL circles yesterday, Joe, was the Music City Miracle and his lateral on that play and what a role he played in that for the Titans. But, you know, a really, really good player. I got to meet him a couple of times, and like you said, he was always extremely nice to me. I always enjoyed being around Frank, and just a tragic, tragic loss. And I know he's a guy that means a lot to this community, particularly if you're a Titans fan, you know, that's been around for a long time and was here back in those days when, you know, it was McNair and George, and they got to the Super Bowl that first year. Like, Wycheck was a huge part of that team, if you think back to some of the numbers he put up.
Oh, no question. Yeah, it wasn't just the Music City Miracle, of course. I mean, he was a central part of that offense. I mean, you know, eventually D-Mace, you know, Derek Mason became a great receiver, you know, for the Titans in the years to come. You know, on that team, he was kind of a returner, you know, and they didn't, you know, they didn't have like a superstar on the outside. You know, they kind of spread it around, but Wycheck was the – he was kind of the constant. And, you know, another thing that people I've seen a lot of, I saw from PK and Beauclair and Terry McCormick, you know, George Plaster, you know, Gentry wrote a good column and quoted Plaster, but you know, the sort of, the outreach and a sort of getting people into this team and this franchise back then, like those guys, and I know, I mean, talking to Floyd, you know, I know that it was very much, you know, discussed, like, this is something we have to do. But still, I mean, some people, you know, everybody's going to do their obligations, and some people are going to go above and beyond. And, you know, Wycheck was obviously a guy who went way above and beyond, along with, you know, McNair, Eddie George. They were kind of that was kind of your trio of, you know, of guys who weren't just great players, but also were like the primary ambassadors to kind of get this city into this new franchise.
Well, and then taking what you did on the field, which was significant here if you're Wycheck, and then moving into the radio fold, both on, you know, the Titans broadcast and then the show with Kevin and Mark. You know, it was kind of, you know, Jared talked about this yesterday on Twitter, which I thought was well said. You know, kind of the first instance of a high-level athlete here in our city, you know, taking that next step into the media forum and having the connection that way of going from being a player to being a part of where, you know, if you're a fan, you feel like you can reach out and talk to him every day about what's going on. And he can explain what's happening on the field. You know, he was the radio analyst when Delanie Walker was here, and hearing him break down some of the things that Delanie Walker was really good at, I remember, you know, just kind of listening to that and being like, wow, I never would have thought about it that way in terms of just the way that he explained things, especially at the tight end position. So, you know, obviously him and Mike Keith were a team together for a long time on Titans radio, and just hearing things explained that way, Frank was kind of the first guy in this city that did that going from his playing days.
Yeah. Yeah. He was great at, he was, you know, great at, you know, he was funny, you know, he was engaging, and, but he was really good at the technical aspects of bringing things down. And then, yeah, that show, I mean, that's one of the, you know, for me moving here, it was appointment listening for me, for those guys. And, you know, between Kevin's Mike Krzyzewski impersonation and, you know, Mark's snarkiness, and then, I mean, really, Mark and Frank both could sort of trade the snark back and forth while Kevin, you know, sort of ran the whole thing. And it was enjoyed it a lot, and it showed, you know, a lot of that personality. And again, it's like that all sort of ended abruptly, you know, and you kind of knew at that time, you know, that he was really struggling. And PK wrote about in his piece, PK's piece, I thought was really good. And it's free, by the way, at paulkarski.com, you know, about, he also has like some social anxiety as well to go with all of that too, you know? So, I mean, he dealt with some stuff, and what I really appreciate is that he was willing to talk about that stuff, because a lot of people deal with stuff. And when someone like that is dealing with it and is willing to be open about it, I mean, that's how, you know, you can really help some people.
Yep. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Teresa Walker from the Associated Press. She covered Frank Wycheck's career here with the Titans. We'll get her thoughts on Frank Wycheck, his life, his legacy, as he passes away over the weekend at the age of 52. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Monday morning. Frank Wycheck tragically passing away over the weekend at the age of 52. And to help us discuss the life and legacy of Frank Wycheck, a Titans great, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our friend Teresa Walker from the Associated Press. Teresa, good morning. How are you?
Well, I'm doing pretty good, but I will say that news coming across yesterday, it was a kick to the gut. I mean, having covered Frank and knowing why he retired, it wasn't a huge surprise. I think those of us who'd been around him, who'd covered him, knew that he was struggling. The concussions had taken a bit of a toll on his health. But to get that, when you know somebody in 52, it is a kick to the gut.
Yeah, no question about that. So, Teresa, you know, we were just kind of going through Frank's kind of legacy here in terms of what he did on the field, which was really significant, obviously, for the Titans. You know, he moved into broadcasting after his career was over with here. But when you think about your dealings with Frank over the years, what comes to mind?
Well, he's what we call a go-to guy. He was the guy, you know, along with Eddie George, Steve McNair, and Aldo Greco when he was here, that when you needed somebody to talk to, whether it was after a practice, after a win, after a tough loss, there were a bunch of those first couple of years. I mean, you know, the trips to Memphis and then the games at Vanderbilt as the Tennessee Oilers. Those were tough, tough games. Stand up at the locker and talk, no matter how, especially after the final game of his career, the 17-14 loss in New England, a divisional game that had been at that point the coldest game in franchise history. You know, he talked and then shook hands with everybody going out of the locker, the media. because he knew he'd had two concussions that season. We were kind of worried about, you know, him coming back. I later talked to him, you know, for a story a colleague was doing when Wes Welker was looking to get back quickly from a concussion playing with the Broncos. And then I talked to him again before the, you know, for the NFL's 100th season. And let's not forget, I had somebody on social media say he was a Titans great. That's what needed to be in your headline. And I'm like, he was the guy who threw the lateral on a play, the Music City Miracle, that as the NFL celebrated its 100th season, was still ranked as the fourth best play in league history.
Yep.
And I'm sorry, I put that as great as he was for this franchise, and he was great. I mean, he led this team in receptions three straight seasons. I mean, you know, he was Steve McNair's best buddy when he needed somebody to be open, and he always was open. And the man had a perfect passer rating. You know, I think he was 5 of 6. So when they needed him on trick plays, that was the guy. So it's like, you know, I'm sorry. In my estimation, you know, yes, he was deservedly put into the Ring of Honor for this team in 2013.
Yeah, actually, I wanted to ask you just about that day, Teresa, and what, you know, just that moment in that stadium and that press box with Frank and that play. What I mean, obviously we all know the play and the delay waiting for the review and all these things, but what else really stands out for you about that?
Well, Joe, I'll say this. Barry Wilner, who recently retired from the Associated Press, after the Bills kicked the field goal to go up, he turned to me because I was standing up. This may have been the last morning kickoff for an NFL playoff game, Bills Titans, okay? I mean, I think it kicked off at like 11, 11:30. It was ridiculous, right? And, you know, you watch the drive. My husband, who was in the stands, actually used that moment to go to the bathroom so that, you know, he was trying to beat the end of game rush to the restroom. So he missed the play. But Barry Wilner turns to me because I'm standing up getting ready to go downstairs to the Titans locker room. I'm already thinking of my sidebar, yet another playoff disappointment for a franchise who I had watched the AFC championship losses with Earl Campbell and Dan Pastorini as the Houston Oilers. And I was, you know, I was thinking of the Mike Renfro touchdown that should have been called a touchdown catch. And he says, "Don't worry, I always get the weird ones. Don't forget." He had covered the Buffalo Houston playoff game where Houston
35-3.
Yes, and he said, "I always get the weird ones." So I'm standing, and where our seats were that day, it was a little weird. I'm kind of on the line almost with the throw by Frank. And as I'm watching it, I'm like, that's a lateral. Now, the only thing I didn't know is, you know, first you look for a flag, you know, because everybody's watching and it's like, this can't be happening. And you're looking for a flag. Then you watch the official go under the hood to watch the replay. And you're thinking, okay, now what matters is, do they have the right TV angle to show that ball? Because if, you know, if you've watched that replay at any time at all, you know, Kevin Dyson's got that left leg is stretched and then he goes backwards to catch the ball. And Frank, you know, he turns after the little pitch from Lorenzo Neal and then throws it. And he knew he had to get it back. And I had talked to him about that for the, you know, 100th anniversary, look back at that play as part of the 100th season. And he knew that it went backward. And it was just a matter of, would they find a replay? And when they came out and everybody in the stadium is on their feet, you know, no, I don't know if anyone's breathing with anticipation because it's all hanging on what that official would say. And when he said that the place stood, that place went insane. I mean, you already had people standing and waiting. You know, our top photographer in Tennessee, Mark Humphrey, was on the Buffalo sideline preparing to shoot what we call jubo shots of celebration because, you know, you have to position like that, right? And then it just slips on a moment like that. And then from there, I mean, that play, you know, everyone's celebrating and I'll guarantee you there's a million people who weren't there that day who will tell you now, I was there.
Yeah.
to watch that play. And that's the thing. It launched that run to the Super Bowl, still the only Super Bowl appearance for that franchise in their 60-plus years. And it was just a thrilling ride. I would be in town, you know, through that one and, you know, go out to get lunch, and people would say, man, did you see that play? Did you see that play? And it was the lateral from Frank that truly just set up just the wildest ride in sports that I have ever been a part of.
Teresa Walker with us here on Robbie and Rex Show. And Teresa, I mean, it's kind of wild to relive that, because I remember watching that live as well. And then, you know, Frank.
You were alive, Robbie?
I was, barely. I was like 7 at the time this all went down. But, you know, and then Frank after that goes on to obviously have a great broadcasting career. He did, you know, Titans Radio with Mike Keith, obviously the show with Kevin Ingram and Mark Howard as well. And we were talking about this last segment. Like, to me, in some ways, he kind of felt like the first professional athlete here in our city to offer that perspective and to be, you know, in the booth where you felt like he was just kind of watching the game with you, you know, Joe Schmo, the casual fan, and explaining things in a way that, you know, you never really heard explained before here in our city. Obviously, you know, his personality, just from being around him, not a surprise that he went on to be a great broadcaster.
Oh, none at all. And you know, his predecessor was Pat Ryan,
yeah,
who was on the call for the Music City Miracle and still works Tennessee Volunteer football games. And Pat was great, but Frank was a part of that group that had, and people forget, that 5-year run, their first 5 years as the Titans, was among the best in the NFL. I mean, they reached 2 AFC championship games, the Super Bowl, you know, the divisional loss at New England, the win at Baltimore, a game that's more known for you know, Gary Anderson's touchdown or field goal and Eddie George hurting his shoulder and coming back in and just mowing over Ray Lewis. But, you know, then when Frank transitioned into the booth and became the color analyst, he was that era. He was the guy who helped cement this NFL franchise in Nashville and in the state of Tennessee. I mean, people don't remember now. I mean, I was at a sporting goods store yesterday. I'm seeing the Oilers throwbacks and, you know, remembering the fight. It's like, we don't have oil derricks in Tennessee. Why are they calling them the Oilers? We want our own nickname, and how they were ignored in Memphis and at Vanderbilt in 98. And people said, we want our own. That, you know, Bud Adams changed the nickname to help sell tickets for the new stadium. And I think Frank and Craig Hendrick, Blaine Bishop, were all part of that group that, you know, helped to show off the new uniforms when they finally brought them out, the flaming thumbtack, as they called it then. But Frank being in the booth and being on radio as part of that morning show, you know, he helped continue the buy-in to this franchise after that incredible run, because, you know, let's not forget it, there were some tough years. And that those 5-27 seasons were painful. But because you had Frank, a guy who had been a part of the greatness that helped cement this franchise, that is as much a part of his legacy as what he did on the field. And let's not forget, this is a guy, 6th-round draft pick by Washington out of Maryland. You know, the then Houston Oilers, Floyd Reese claimed him off waivers. And then he ends up, you know, when he retired, he was 4th all-time among tight ends in receptions. And, I mean, that's the thing. This guy was not just, you know, an everyman who worked his way onto the roster. He caught passes, and he led this team when they, you know, they were looking for a receiving threat, and they were struggling. I mean, does that ring a bell, anybody? But he was the guy who stepped up. And, you know, I'm going to be helping pick the 25-year anniversary team for the Titans. There was never, ever a doubt who one of, you know, the starting tight ends is for this team. It's Frank Wycheck, for what he meant to this franchise.
Yeah, and speaking of legacy, Teresa, you know, obviously, you know, he's been outspoken about his issues and about the fact that he was going to, as the family confirmed yesterday, you know, essentially donate his brain and be part of the studies on CTE and brain injuries. What about that aspect of you know, his legacy, but also just the last few years for Frank?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, you know, when he was replaced by Coach Mack, and we all loved Coach Dave McGinnis for the 2017 season, I think fans started worrying. You know, and then when the when he was no longer on the morning radio and you didn't hear from him, you know, I think people were, you know, it felt like, almost like he went into hiding. But when I talked to him in 2014, he knew he had done some research about the lingering effects and about if going back into the game, and he had studied upon it, and he knew that it could potentially be fatal. And that's why he had made the commitment to make sure that he had, you know, a connection, and that whatever happened to him when he passed, that it would be studied. So I talked with him over, the CTE and the brain research, you know, back in 2017, he made clear that he was going to be a part of this to help study, there was a study in 2017 that was part of the Journal of the American Medical Association, the National Institute of Neurological Disorders and Stroke, you know, and he was a part of that. That journal case in 2017 looked at people from Ken Stabler and Dave Duerson, but it also included, other people and Frank Wycheck. You know, he made very clear that he planned to donate his brain for research. And at that time, you know, what he said, some people have heads made of concrete and it doesn't really affect some of those guys, but CT is real. And this is when he was 45. I know I'm suffering through it, and it's been a struggle, and I feel for all the guys out there going through this. So when, you know, to read the details that he was at his home in Chattanooga, apparently fell and was found Saturday afternoon. They don't know exactly when he fell Saturday, but he was found Saturday afternoon. I mean, it's just, you know, it's tough not to think. I mean, I love the sport of the NFL. That was, you know, of all the sports that I've covered, football, the NFL particularly has been my love because I've watched it since the 70s. But it's tough because you see the effects that they have on that playing this game has on people, and knowing the likely impact that it had on Frank, shortening his life, and more importantly, the enjoyment of his life after retirement at the age of 32. Guys, he still was under contract. He still had the talent. He could have played longer had he wanted to. But because he had two concussions in about a month or so, he knew that he needed to step away because those weren't just the first two concussions, unfortunately, that he had suffered in his career.
Yeah, no question about that. Well, Teresa, really appreciate your perspective. Thanks so much for taking time to join us this morning. I wish it was under better circumstances, but I really enjoyed your perspective on this. Thanks so much, and we'll talk to you soon.
My pleasure, and same. And next time, hopefully, it'll be a happier circumstance.
Yep, absolutely. Teresa Walker from the Associated Press, our guest.
Thanks, Teresa.
Here on Robbie and Rexall. We'll take your thoughts on the passing of Frank Wycheck. Give us your best Frank Wycheck memory. 615-737-1025, our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Join Jared Stillman, Chris Sanders, and Derek Mason at Twin Peaks in Madison today from 4 to 6 p.m. for our NFL pregame show. They'll break down the Titans' Week 14 matchup against the Dolphins and give you the latest updates before the game. Our NFL pregame show presented by Parman Tractor and Equipment and Beast Unleashed. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road. We are live from our 102.5 The Game studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Taking your thoughts on the passing of Frank Wycheck. That news coming out over the weekend, Frank Wycheck passing away at the age of 52. Obviously, a great player for the Tennessee Titans, a beloved broadcaster as well. We'll take your thoughts on that all show long. 615-737-1025, our phone number. Thanks so much to Teresa Walker for being with us in the last segment. And, you know, Joe, obviously, like I said earlier, the Music City Miracle was going around all over the place yesterday on social media after the announcement of Frank's passing came out. And it is funny to think back to, like, the argument of, was that a lateral, was that not a lateral, that Bills fans, some of them still to this day, are convinced that it wasn't. And any time I've ever seen Frank Wycheck.
Some media people.
Yeah, which is kind of amazing. They've done, like, sports science on this and proved that it was a lateral. But anytime Frank Wycheck was asked about it, he was like, I know it was a lateral. The only thing I was thinking the whole time was make sure it's a lateral. So it was always funny to hear, you know, Frank's kind of response to the conspiracy theorists out there that thought it was a forward pass.
Yeah, I mean, like, Adam Schefter still says it's not a lateral. Like it's been absolutely verified. There's – don't even get me started. I will say, you know, it's like every time you watch it, and I remember watching it live at the time, because of the camera angle, which of course was, you know, to the left of them, it did look it like in real time. Like I remember like watching over again, and he scores and stuff. And I remember being like, oh my gosh, but also like, ah, and even Wade Phillips was like, you could see him on the sidelines that it's forward pass. You know, that was sort of the, but then as soon as he got different angles, like, oh my gosh, it was almost straight up, but that's also a lateral. As long as you don't go forward, it's lateral. And yesterday, by the way, I thought that Travis Kelce was about to do the ultimate tribute against the Bills to Frank Wycheck with his play that I thought was going to win that game, but of course was called for an offsides on Kadarius Toney. Yes. But I mean, number four, I mean, that's, I'm trying to think of, I mean, honestly, you tell me, I don't know the list, but number four in the all time NFL plays, I'm trying to think of like, what are the obvious, cause that's just an obvious one, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's just like there's been Hail Marys, but no, there's like, there was one, like a sort of a Ahmad Rashad against the Browns in the playoffs.
The immaculate reception comes to mind, you know, stuff like that. But you know,
what was the immaculate reception?
I want to say it may have been number one on that list. If I have to go back and verify though, I need to go back.
No, but there's so many plays that are called that. Which one are we talking about here?
Oh, Franco Harris.
Oh, duh. Yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah, that's probably number one. I mean, that's like the dynasty maybe doesn't happen without that one. And you got no good camera. Yeah. So, but like those two, right?
Yeah.
Because it's got to be, you know, a playoff, an incredible, you know, postseason play that changes a loss to a victory, right? And those two would have a case for, you know, as memorable as any.
Yeah, no question. And I had forgotten. You know, obviously, like I talked about earlier, you watch Frank Wycheck play, and he was in his heyday when the Titans basically came here. You know, they came to Memphis, as Teresa laid out there, and then they played 1 year at Vanderbilt, and then the Adelphia Coliseum at the time opens up here, and he's at the top of his game when Adelphia opens up. I mean, you look through the numbers, and by the time he gets done, like you said, I mean, he retired at the age of 32. So think about that. Age of 32, he retires, 505 catches, over 5,100 yards, at 28 touchdowns. You know, obviously, and Teresa talked about this, he could have still played. Like, he was still good enough to play. His last year, he only played in 10 games because of the injuries, 17 catches, 165 yards. So, I mean, the injuries were starting to catch up at that point, but only 32 when he retired from the NFL.
It's kind of amazing, too, to think about him and all he did, and Delanie Walker and all he did, and the draft statuses of both, you know, basically afterthoughts who early in their career. I mean, Delanie Walker was he played some of the Niners, but obviously Wycheck not long with Washington, and then come to this franchise and have great success. So I'm looking at this list. You know, if the Titans would have gotten that last yard, won that game, you know, which of course they would have had to win in overtime, but I think this would be number two. Immaculate reception, hard to argue with that. And, you know, they also have, like, the catch, which is Montana to Dwight Clark, which is a great play, but, you know, I mean, it may be a little bit overrated. The Tyree using his head to catch that pass from Eli is number three, which is a great play, and that was an incredible win. That's the thing. What does it lead to, right? Yep. I think that's a big part of it too. Then Malcolm Butler with the pick at the goal line. So, but you know, you're talking, and I mean, that play 20 years from now, 30, 40, I mean, it's not going anywhere.
No.
You know, just like the catch Dwight Clark. I mean, that was like 1981, you know? So that's, part of that day, and just that legacy for Frank Wycheck, he'll never go away.
Matt on the text line says, favorite memories of Wycheck were his raw emotional reactions during incredible plays. For example, Nate Washington's leap and reach over the defender to catch the ball, recover on his feet, and go for a touchdown. Frank's reaction to that was broadcasting gold. Jim on the text line says, favorite memory of Frank is him blowing kisses to the crowd in the aftermath of the Music City Miracle. Also liked hearing him talk about his 158.3 career passer rating. He did have a perfect passer rating for his career, which he did like to talk about, which was always funny.
Yeah, well, he had fantastic passing stats. There's another, you know, you talk about Wycheck to Delanie Walker, and in that way, I guess it's Wycheck to Derrick Henry, right?
Yeah. Just passing
heck,
the torch.
Heck of a passer.
Yeah, no question about it. We'll take your thoughts on Frank Wycheck all show long. 615-737-1025, our phone number. Would love to hear your favorite memories of number 89 for the Titans. We'll take them on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Coming up next, we'll get into the weekend that was in the NFL. Look ahead to the Titans and the Dolphins coming up tonight as well. All that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game.